Yes, yes, we back in the building. This is the Retro Rick Podcast, man. And today I got a special guest in the building. I got the good brother Rain. We here.
Peace, peace.
Yes, yes, man. Before I even jump into the interview, man, I want to just say I appreciate you for giving, you know, taking some time out to chop it up with me. And I also want to tell you, and it's not because you're on the podcast. I'm, you know, we doing the Hip Hop 50, and you are one of my 50 favorite rappers. I ain't saying that just because we on the podcast. So I just
appreciate it,
and I definitely appreciate that. Now, you know, we'll chop it up, you know. But what's good, man? How you doing, man?
Oh man, everything is good. Everything is good. I can't complain. Life is amazing. I'm actually over here working right now. About to release a new song called Miles Hayes.
Miles Hayes. Okay. Now, see, that's, yeah. See, one thing, you know, like I said, the first time I ever came across you, I seen you on the Smack DVD years ago. I remember when the first time I seen you was Corey Guns. He was like, this is my nigga Rain. You know what I mean? And then I started seeing your freestyles on the joint, right? So I've been in tune then because I'm more of a, you know, that's more of my style of rapping. You know what I mean? Like, I like when when people like, it's art. Like, this is what I do. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got to sell a million. I don't got to sell 10 million. I don't got to sell one. This is my passion. Right. You know what I'm saying? That's what I get when I hear you. You know what I mean? And that right there, man, like, ever since then, you know, back then, Smacks was what it was. You know, I know now we got the YouTube. You know, we got the YouTube. And I miss it back then. You know what I mean? Like, it was a different feel when that era was going on. You know what I mean? Now it's like you don't even get to see no footage you wouldn't see before. You know what I mean? We used to have to wait to the Smacks to come out to see, you know what I'm saying, certain footage, man. How you feel? Because you in the industry. How you feel about that? Like, as far as how you see people now and then back then?
That's a good question. I definitely prefer, well, it's, you know, it's ups and downs to both of them, I will say. You got pros and cons to each way. I think back in the days when the DVD era, I think we all had a little bit more patience when it came to music. Mm. You know, you get these DVDs and it wasn't so cluttered. It was like a good amount of artists on there, but it was still controlled. Now with the internet, it's just so much. Like, YouTube, so many artists on YouTube, it's no filtering system to understand what's good and what's not. And people would like to believe that, you know, music is subjective. Okay, we could say that music is subjective, but it being subjective is based on your person's personal taste. And everybody doesn't have the best taste. Because you like something, you know what I'm saying? So just because you like something, that doesn't mean it's good. It is a quality, and I think YouTube and like these different ways, there's so many ways with music being released, like YouTube and social media, there's no quality control. It's just the wild, wild west. So I do appreciate the mixtape era a little more. I do appreciate the Smack DVD era a little more. But I do also enjoy this era because if you do have patience to sit through the bullshit, you can come across a lot of good artists. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people that found my music through YouTube, so I can, or social media. So it is some ups to it. You know what I'm saying? I don't completely dislike anything, and I don't completely like anything. You know what I'm saying? It's always ups and downs to it.
Right. So how do you keep your composure in this? Because I know, like, you know, with the type of artist that you is, I don't understand why, you know, you could sell a million. You know what I'm saying? Like, because to me, what you do is talent. Like, I listen to your songs. Like, I would come in with a quotable, but it's a lot. You know what I mean? I can't even hold you. So I couldn't even, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot.
Right.
So I was going to come in like, yo, well, you said this because I like the bars and metaphors and things like that. You know what I'm saying? But you got stories, storytelling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The joint you did. Dang, man. The name of the joint. Dang. I forgot. It's beyond. It's the story that you did when you was talking to the youngin', and the youngin' set you up.
Oh, really was the, blow was me away.
Blow me away.
Blow me away, man. Right.
Come on. You understand? Like, that's. That's pure talent. You gotta think of that. Cause I'm listening to the joint. I'm like, man, this little nigga foul as shit. You know what I mean? Then by the end of the song, right. You're like, oh shit. You ain't give it away.
Wow, 360.
Yeah, you ain't give it away. You ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like you just really just this is the story. And then the twist came out of nowhere. You know what I'm saying? It's like a blind side. Bam, knocked out. But how do you say, you know what? I understand the game is pushing this. And I'm this type of artist. What makes you keep going?
You broke up at the end. You're breaking up a little bit. What was the last question?
Oh, okay. I said, knowing the type of talent and the type of artist that you are, what keeps you going and saying, you know what, I'm still going to push my pen and I'm still going to, you know, create my craft? Because a lot of people get discouraged. You know what I'm saying? They're like, yo, the game ain't going in my direction, or, you know, it's not catered to me specifically, because they want TikTokers and, you know what I'm saying, viral shit.
I get what you're saying. I think the easiest way to answer that question would be, one, I mean, I love music, and I feel like the only people who truly, truly love music, because you could like music, mm-hmm. you could enjoy music, mm-hmm. but the people who love, truly love music, make music.
Right.
Right. And I feel like that doesn't mean that everybody who makes music loves music.
Right.
To some people, it's just a hustle.
Right.
You know, but like me personally, I love music. So I make music. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's like the game is the game. The game is going to go left. It's going to go right. I don't play the game. I'm not part of the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like a painter, like a motherfucker who paint, like, you know, the way. A person who paints is gonna. My father's a painter. He's been painting his whole life. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's ever even attempted to sell no paintings. And he's incredibly good.
Right.
Right. He's 80 now. Like he's in his 80s. He still paints. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, because that's what he loves to do. It's like if he didn't do it, he'll die.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like this is what we do. Like we are artists. I create music because like even with Blow Me Away, like Blow Me Away, when I did the song, I didn't think like, yo, when I drop this, we're gonna get a million views. Like that wasn't part of my plan. Like when I did it, I was like, yo, I wanna make sure that I could tell this story. The hardest part of that was like, I wanna tell this story, but not sacrifice the rhyme scheme. So I wanted to still like layer up some rhymes and do like some witty shit with the wordplay, but still hold on to the story because I feel like that's rarely done. Mm-hmm. To where somebody is very complex with the rhyme scheme, but still tells the story very clear. It doesn't happen a lot. So like, so that was the goal. You know, of course, if the goal was to, you know, sell a million copies of that or get a million views on the video, then I probably would have been disappointed and discouraged. But that was never the goal.
Right.
So a lot of times for me, it's like, yo, I mean, of course, it would be dope if I was selling millions of records, but I've never had a job. So music feeds me. Right. It takes care of me. You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, even I'm able to do what I want, right,
mm-hmm.
and pay my bills from what I do.
Right, best feeling in the world.
I think the best way to look at it is this, right? If you could get a job, right, working at Foot Locker, right? Let's say you want to knit sweaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your thing is knitting sweaters. That's what you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. But you gotta eat though, right?
Right.
You gotta put groceries in the house, right? And right. you gotta pay for your rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got to put gas in your car, you got to pay your car, you got to do all these things, but you love knitting sweaters. But let's just say you get a job in the mall, right? And let's just say this mall, the mall job is able to cover all of your basic necessities. Mm-hmm. And you still got a couple hours to go home and knit sweaters. Then guess what? You're in a pretty good fucking space.
Right.
Because you're able to take care of yourself and you're stable to knit sweaters.
Right.
Now, if you're able to find a way to pay all of these bills from knitting sweaters, you're a bad motherfucker.
Right, right. Yeah, that's real.
You get what I'm saying?
Right, that's real. That's a whole different way to look at it.
Right, so for me, it's like, man, I'm able to make music every day. I mean, I make music every day, all day. I don't have to check into no job. I don't have to go move boxes or be in the hot sun doing construction.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then come home and make music. Because that's what I would be doing. I would still have to come home and make music.
Right.
So the fact that I can make music and pay and handle my bills, man, I'm in a great space. Now, of course, I would love for like to be able to go on a world tour and like have millions of dollars off of just playing music. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Over some of the records I'm making. But you know, whether it's licensing, like sync licensing or whatever, getting songs on shows or making beats for people or writing rhymes for people or even like my own shit streaming or doing deals, production deals with people, whatever it takes, at least I'm still doing, getting it done with music.
Right. And that's, and you know what? A lot of people would love to even be in that position. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Because to do what you do, that's like me, exactly what you said with the, you know, what you just said as far as like the Foot Locker, things like that. That's the goal I'm working towards with the podcasting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I have to go to work because I have to, you know, got the wife, got the kids, I got to do that.
Right.
But I got to also come home and put the work in for my podcast to grow so I don't have to do that. I can just be comfortably off my podcast. Might not be the biggest podcast.
But think
in
of how
world.
Blessed you are. Think about how blessed you are that you can still come home and do the podcast though.
True. True.
You still got time. Like, you can still go to work. You still got time to come home and do the podcast. So that alone is a blessing.
Right.
The only time that is really bad is when you're just surviving. And you don't have time to do what you love to do.
Right.
If you don't have time to do what you really love to do, then you fail.
Right. Wow.
You know.
Yeah.
You gotta make time. You gotta make time to do what you love to do, regardless.
Right.
I would rather be eating out the trash. Mm-hmm. And if that's what it was, if I only had time to make music and nothing else, then I'll be outside making music.
Right.
Living on the street making music.
Right. Yeah. Let me ask you this. You know. Being that we come up from an era where, you know, I like this, you know, we come through the golden era and things like that, where things was more regional. You know, do you prefer it regional, or you like that it's open and you could just drop something and touch London and touch, you know what I'm saying, overseas and things like that? Or do you miss when you can just listen to a song and be like, oh, he from Atlanta. Oh, that's what they doing in Houston.
Because yeah, I do kind of miss that.
I fall on the line of that too. You know what I mean? Because I just like to, I would like to know that, okay, that's what they're doing in New York. Oh, that's what they're doing over there.
Right.
It's like personality. You know what I'm saying? Now it's like, you kind of got to look a nigga up. You know what I'm saying? See where a nigga from type shit. Because everybody
see where
dressed
nigga
the
from,
same.
Right.
They dress the same. They rapping the same. They look the same. You know what I'm saying? They talk the same slang, all that. But it's like, you know,
there's no identity.
You know, and I was like, damn, man, that's kind of crazy. Now, another thing I want
to... Because nobody wants to... Well, you know what it is? That still falls in the... That's a category of, like, nobody wants to be wrong, right? Nobody wants to be like, yo, am I rapping right? Or am I dressing right? Everybody's scared to be different because they don't want to be wrong.
Right.
So now everybody's just doing what this is what everybody's doing. Let's all do this.
Right, yeah. This high, okay, we on that.
You can blend in. Right, because people rather blend in than stand out and be criticized.
Right. Yeah.
So that's all that is. So yeah, I think, you know, I try my best to look for unique artists.
Right.
Who got like just their own style and their own vibe going on.
Right.
I try my best to search for that. It's not easy, but when you do find it, when I do find it, I appreciate it.
Right. How do you like even find music nowadays? You know, because now, remember back in the days, we used to know like, yo, such and such drop it because it's a big thing. Now, if you ain't really on a nigga shit, you might not know he dropped 4 months ago. You know what I mean? Like, you got to kind of really be following the people that you like to even know that they dropping.
Right. I think everything is like that, right? Everything is subscription based. Well, I do enjoy that part of it, right? I enjoy the fact that everything is subscription based. Like before, it was like 106 and Park, right? You got 10 videos. You got Rap City might play 20 videos, right? And these are the artists that's on your radar. Mm-hmm. And whether good or bad, whether you like it or not, this is what you have to see every day, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I do like about now is I can curate my YouTube channel to only subscribe to what I want to hear.
Right, right, yeah.
You know, so that's the good thing about that is, like, I could create my playlist. I could create my whole universe. Like, my Instagram, I could have it to where I only see what I want to see.
Right, and you ain't got to worry about the bullshit.
Right, so I could easily go there, okay, I want to follow who, like, just for example, like, I'm going to follow Rick Ross, Pusha T, Jim Jones, Drake, and whoever, right? And this is the only, if these are the only people I'm following, I'm gonna be aware of whatever they got, whatever they're releasing. So that is a good thing, is I won't miss it,
right?
Because I'm actually subscribed to them and right. Subscribed to their YouTube channel or subscribed to their mailing list. It's ways to get in contact, you know, to be in tune with your favorite artist's work and not miss anything,
right?
So I do. I'm you know, I'm on the other side of the fence when it comes to that,
right? And I mean, I guess that is a good thing now, because you know, you like yourself as an artist, you are an artist, a producer, a businessman, you could create your own communities, you know what I'm saying?
It's right, like
I got my fans, they come into me for what I do. I'm curating them. I got them over here on, you know, I got them on YouTube. I got them on Apple. I got them on all the streaming platforms. I got them on the gram. So it's like I'm my own business. You know what I'm saying? And that's, I guess right. That's a good thing too. You know, it's like.
Because I'm not going to like, think of it like this, right? An artist like somebody like Drake, this is the biggest artist in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not, like right now, at this moment, you're not going to hear my song come played after a Drake song right. On the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're not going to see my video come on after a Drake video. But social media has it to where you might see a Drake post and your very next post you see is mine.
Right. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
So these platforms we could share with the bigger artists.
Right.
Even like down to like somebody curating their own playlist. Like I got like a workout playlist full of random artists, and this might be the only way that I would hear some of these artists after some of the bigger artists, right. And known artists after the bigger artists. So that's a blessing,
right? Let me ask you now. You've done joints with, you know, with beasts. So when you mm-hmm. when you go into the studio, right, and you know, rest in peace to Fred the Godson. Super. I mean, next level penmanship, brother. Right? What's your preparation going in there, knowing that, yo, I'm going in here with somebody that get crazy, like I get crazy, you know what I'm saying? Is it, what's the preparation for?
One, respecting everybody that you collaborate on, mm-hmm. right? So I have like a lot of respect for the people I collaborate with. And two is understanding that there is no room that I'm in that I'm not supposed to be.
Mm.
Right, so like whether it's, you know, me working with Fred or, you know, me working with Dr. Dre,
right?
It's like if I'm this room, I'm supposed to be in this room,
right? You in there,
right? So, yeah, so now all I have to do is do what I'm supposed to be doing, you know. If I was called in here to make a beat, then I just got to do my type of shit. If I was called in here to do a verse, then I got to make sure it's my type of shit. Mm-hmm. And I don't try to lean too much into what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not as competitive as we think all the time. Like the listener, you know, fans make things competitive
mm-hmm.
more than anything. You know, it's been times where, you know, I get in the studio with people and I, you know, it's not competitive. Like nobody's like, I want to smoke you on the song.
Right.
I've done songs with people who I want them to have a better verse than me. Like if your verse isn't as good as I think it should be, I'll ask you to do it over.
Mm, okay.
So that's not competitive, right? Because if it was competitive, I'd be like, man, leave that shit. I just right. caught him.
Yeah, I'm getting over.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So sometimes it's not as competitive as we think. It should be collaborative when you're working with people. We should be trying to create the best song
right.
for the consumer, for the fans, and not just, you know. But yeah, but a part of it is, like, you know, you want to make sure your shit tight, though.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Just getting in there and locking in and understanding that you're supposed to be in this room and just giving it your all.
Right, right.
Like, I don't ever worry about nobody outshining me on a record because I just make sure I say everything I wanted to say.
Right.
So if you land a couple good punchlines and you come up with a crazy flow, I'm cool with that because right. I left it all on the table. I said everything I wanted to say.
Right, right. And you're an artist that, you know, you don't, like, another thing that, to me, that separates you from a lot of artists is, you know, I feel like when you make music, it's like, yo, I'm making music and I got something to say at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, it ain't, I'm mm-hmm. not just about to just jump on here and just rap some shit. And, you know, if that's you know, we got times for where that's called for. But, you know, I get it. It's a lot of messages in your music. You know, is that done by, because if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but I thought I don't know if I watched an interview with you or I read something up that you said Nas was your favorite rapper or am I bugging?
No,
completely correct. I thought I was bugging because, you know, like I said, I'm really a fan. I would have came in with a quotable, man, but you got a lot of shit. Really. Word, man. But, you know.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, so, you know, people like Nas and, you know, Nipsey, you, like, I, you know, when I, oh, Rain About to Drop, okay, it's Jules on that joint. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Now, does that come from, like, you know, how do you create your music? Do you read a lot? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just your observation of the world. Like, what do you do in preparation to say, ah, you know what? I gathered up these thoughts. I think I'm ready to put something together. Because I don't view you as an artist that just keep dropping. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Man, that's a great question. You've been asking some great questions. So I think, you know, number one is I grew up in a house where, you know, my father was in the feds, right? Mm-hmm. My brother was hustling, so he wasn't really around like that, you know? So these rappers raised me. So when I say, like, Nas is my favorite rapper, mm-hmm. man, it's deeper than just the music. It's right. The messages that was in the music. It's not just, oh, the guy can rap. It right. was like, yo, this is who I was left in the house with.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These CDs is what I was left in the house with, and these guys created my marching orders.
Okay.
So how I carried myself outside was based on how Jay-Z, Nas, and DMX and these guys was talking.
Mm.
So like when Nas would say, like, yo, you a fool if your main bitch is easy to fuck and you got those, these hoes greedy or what? That let me know that I gotta be able to pick my woman carefully.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like with certain things that these people would say, yo, I gotta eat, yo, every day my daughter feet grow. Like these things, these lines that you gotta be, okay, hold on. You know.
Yeah, this is real. This ain't just no rap. Like
you call you know your man girl is a hoe and you don't even let him know because you fucked her before.
Mm. Yeah.
Like when I would hear these rhymes, I'm like, oh no, I can't be that type of nigga.
Right. Right.
So it was very important to me to, you know, carry myself a certain way. And since there was no male figure around to tell me, then I had to turn to the music. Mm. So I need to make sure that as I'm living and I'm going through my journey of life and it's people listening to my shit, they need to know how I feel just in case they're using this for the same reason.
Right.
Yeah. And it's multiple things. It could be that. It was like sometimes, like even when I was outside hustling, it would be certain people I listened to help me get through the road trip. So it might be some, you know, How do I, you know, even like some of the R&B chicks, like I would listen to how the R&B girl, the ladies were singing, and like how did these women want to be treated? So it wasn't just raps, all type of music. Mm-hmm. It just helped you create your character.
Right.
So I want to make sure that I'm putting something in the, you know, on the grid to where somebody could build their character. You know, I was in the studio one time recently with a female friend of mine, and she was saying how, you know, she was just into talking about how she likes hearing how men speak about women when it's not just about, you know, fucking or whatever, like right. how we really think. It was some song I had played, and she was like, man, that's ill to hear how you think and look at women.
Right.
Right. So, but sometimes even with that, everything is so sexual and, you know, or talking shit down, so talking down to women that right. sometimes they don't understand how we might really feel about them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we might just have frustration.
Right.
They don't see the love, and like sometimes it's just a little frustration, and we trying to figure it out.
Right.
And they need to hear that. You know, so all of that, like all of his life, like the punchlines is cool. We come up with some cool punchlines.
Right.
But a lot of times, my man Errol said that. He said, you know, people start comparing and contrasting and making punchlines when they run out of shit to talk about. I mean, we ain't running out of shit to talk about. That's a lot to say.
Right, right. DMX wasn't a punchline rapper, was he? He was just...
No, not really. X, Nas, Jay. Yeah, Jay really give you a couple punchlines. Nas' life is like Pac. All the greats just gave you real life stories and tales and imagery and descriptive writing. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Real intimate writing.
Yeah. Okay.
So I try to keep my
there. So I got a question for you. You're a hip hop, you know, this is the culture. Let's say if you have an album, right? What's an album mm-hmm. that you know that's crazy, whether it's creatively, you know, whatever you deem it as, that you when you hear people's lists, you be like, yo, this need to be on somebody's list somewhere. And I say the same album every time, but I like to hear yours first, and then I'll give you mine. Like, just a slept-on album, or not like, necessarily slept-on.
Like an underrated album?
Yeah, that is like, you be looking at lists, and you be like, yo, this album need to be on a list. And it might not show up on lists, never. But it's like, this album need to be on a list.
I'm trying to think of an album that's not on the list. It's not on the list. Yeah. Man, that's a tough one. Probably Nas I Am.
Nas I Am? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like
that. I don't feel like that album gets enough credit.
Right. Okay. Mine's is...
You always hear people say Illmatic.
Illmatic,
you always
hear
people say it was written, you know. I Am was an important album.
Right. I mean, I had an argument with a youngin one time, and he was talking about rappers and stuff, and you know, he's way younger than me, and I was like, yo, your favorite rapper is the same age as Nas when he made Illmatic. Like, it ain't them niggas.
Who was?
No, the kid I was talking to, I forget, it was a younger artist, but you know, nowadays, you got these young guys who's like 19, 8, you know, that's really jumping, popping. This was a little minute ago, right? But I was just trying to tell him, like, yo, listen to what your favorite rapper, who's like 20 right now, listen to what he's talking about.
Right.
And then you go listen to what that 20-year-old or 18, you know, he was at what, 18, right. 20 when he made that?
Different.
Yeah, it's completely different, my man. Like, you know what I mean? We not talking about the same thing. But my sleeper album, right? And I'm talking about just like it's creativity. It's I say Sticky Fingers, Black Trash.
I gotta go back and listen to it. I remember really enjoying that album when it came out.
You know,
I haven't listened to it in a while.
Yeah, it's like type shit. You know, he's on my fingers in general. Yeah, he's on my list too. You know, at 50.
I got one for you. That people don't talk about, and it should be Oh man, what is the name of this album? I gotta look up the title.
Mm-hmm.
36 Seasons.
36 Seasons.
Ghostface Killah, 36 Seasons is one of the most creative albums I've ever heard in my life.
Okay. Yeah, I'm checking that out.
So 36 Seasons, he plays a character of this guy coming out of jail. He wants to take over his projects, right?
Mm.
He wants to clean his projects up. He goes to jail, and after doing 36 seasons in jail, he comes home, and his projects is tore apart, right? And the guy who's running his projects is Kool G Rap.
Wow.
Right, so now Kool G Rap plays this character who then ran off with his girl, took over the projects. So throughout the whole album, they're trading verses.
Right.
AZ makes an appearance as like a pop. It's like Denzel and Training Day.
Wow.
AZ is on the album. And so these are multiple songs where these guys appear as these characters.
Right. Okay. See, I've never heard this album. So you know what I mean. I'm definitely going to check that out.
It's even one part where like Ghost gets shot and has to go see the doctor, and the doctor is Pharrell Monks.
Wow.
Like, yo, so ill. Like, all kind of shit goes on throughout the album, and it has like it's a full album, like.
Right.
Beginning and end, and they play these characters. These characters have different names. They have names for these characters. It's not AZ, Kool G, and Ghost. They all have names.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a creative fucking album.
Okay.
Like, that shit blew my mind. And nobody put me onto it. I just was going through Ghost catalog one day and just played that album and was like, mind blown. Like, how did I not know about this?
Right. Yeah, that's similar to the Sticky Fingers album. It's like the nigga came home from jail, and then each skit goes into the song. Remember, he had the song where he was money. He is rapping as money because somebody broke into his crib and stole, you know, shorty stole the money. And then, you know what I mean? Then he talked to God. And then he had the court scene where it was like cannabis. Red Man was his lawyer. Cannabis was the other nigga lawyer.
Right.
All that shit. I'm like, yo.
Right. So those type of albums are crazy.
Yeah.
I think the first person to ever do an album like that was like, Prince Paul.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure if you're familiar, but Prince Paul was doing like a lot of the production for De La Soul. Mm.
Yeah, I'm not so, too familiar. Like, I haven't jumped all the way into his music before, but I am aware of Prince Paul and things like that. Like,
yeah, he's really and he had an album called Prince of Thieves, where it's like the first time I've heard somebody do like a story album.
Right.
And that was like, I think that might have been a Walkus release. I can't remember for sure, but it was a good joint.
How does it feel like? How did you get into producing? Because to me, like, you know, I'm sitting here, I'm like on my thing here. I got this little, let me see what this thing is, man. I got this little MPD 218. You probably know what that is. I call myself trying to learn how to do something, man. And I can't do it.
Nah, you could do it, especially now. Like YouTube, tutorials and all that shit.
Listen, man, that shit looked like I was trying to, I don't know what the fuck, man. But
you got to become a YouTube monster. Yeah. You got to be on YouTube all day.
Man.
Like when I started producing, I was producing. It's really simple, truthfully. The way I started producing was the type of beats I wanted to make, the type of beats I wanted to rap to at this time, nobody was making. So it was like a lot of trap shit going on, the smack music, and it was like a lot of, it was shifting from like sample-based hip-hop into like this different type of music that I just wouldn't consider hip-hop anymore. And it was hard to get the type of beats I wanted, and the people that could make it, they're going to kill me for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. The people that could make that music was like charging so much, right?
Right.
So just so you take like niggas like Premier, Havoc, Pete Rock. I mean, I still can't get beats from these guys.
Right.
Hey, but these are the guys that I wanted beats from. I wanted like that hard hip hop shit, mm-hmm. or some traditional hip hop music. But I couldn't get these guys to work with me. But I was like, man, I gotta figure out how to do the shit they doing. So like, I didn't have the integrity that most producers have coming into it. Like, I have a lot of integrity when it comes to rap. Like, I don't want to sound like nobody. I don't want nobody sounding like me.
Right.
But with production, being that I wasn't really a producer, I didn't give a fuck. I was trying to make shit to sound like Rock. I wanted this shit to sound exactly like RZA. If I wanted a RZA beat out and I couldn't get it from him, I was going to make something to sound exactly like
it. Make my own RZA beat.
Well, I'm going to make my own RZA type beat, and I don't give a fuck. Now, what's crazy is, throughout the years, I wound up getting respect, you know, gaining a lot of respect for the beats that I make.
Right.
And now it's like, I don't want to sound like Bink. I don't want to sound like Knox. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Like, I be having to have some integrity, but at the same time, sometimes, man, I want some shit to sound like this.
Right, right.
And I don't want to go through the politics. So even now, sometimes I might, I might make some shit that sound like Prem, and I'm like, man, I wonder how Prem gonna feel when he hear this clear bite that I just did.
Right.
But you know, it's like you gotta figure it out. You gotta start justifying certain shit to yourself. Like, well, I'm not gonna use the samples he used, or I'm not gonna chop it exactly how he used it. I might take this, I might steal the feel, but I ain't gonna take nothing to where it's like a complete bite.
Right.
But yeah, for production, but I put my time into this shit.
But,
you know what I'm saying? Like I didn't play with it. Like, yeah.
The beats is fire. You know what I'm saying? You could tell when niggas be half-assing the beats, and you be like, yo, man, the beat ain't, I don't know.
But for
man.
The geeks, for the production nerds out there, man, listen, I did my due diligence when it come to this shit. I invested money into, like, I have everything. I have MPC 2000. I have an ASR-10. I have the SP-303, the SP-404, the machine. I have everything. And I have a crazy collection of records. I still go record shopping.
Right.
And all the time. And I dig for samples. I do not be looking for samples that people got already.
Right.
Now, if I find it, I find it. Mm-hmm. Like, if I come across something, like if Pete Rock used the sample, I'm not going on whosample.com to go find it.
Right.
But if I go through my record collection and I find it, if I actually make something and I find it, then it's free game to me.
Right. Great mind.
Because I bought it and I found it and I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
I'm going to still try to do it different, as different as possible. But yeah, so that's it. Like, with production, for me, it was a necessity. I had to learn how to make the shit that I wanted to make. Right. But I wanted to rap to.
So, like, being that, you know, like, all right, When it comes to the pen game, I'm official. When it comes to the beats, I'm official. Now, when you about to lock in, is it like, yo, you know what? I got this move, so let me go build this beat to this thought? Or do you say, you know what? I got a folder over here with 50 beats in it. Let me go through the folder and see. Or do you craft it like, yo, like, you know, you might have a idea for a rap in your head, and being that you could do the beat as well, do you create the beat, or do you might just go see what you got first to get with it, with that rap that you might be thinking of?
Well, that's a good question. Usually, I'm just making a bunch of beats. I make way more beats than I rap.
Okay.
So I make beats, and if I come up with something crazy, I'm like, damn, this shit moves me to want to write. Right? But then sometimes, like, when I did the album, What Would Jesus Say? That happened in total reverse.
Mm.
Like, the way that project happened, I had the cover first.
Wow.
I didn't even know I was going to do an album. Like, my man, shout out to Ralph Duke, he just made that cover.
Right.
And when I saw him, I need that. So right. I bought the cover. Right. I had the title was in the cover. It just said, What Would Jesus Say?
Mm-hmm.
On the cover. And I'm like, wow, I'm using this. I'm going to make an album out of this. And then I wrote the track list out. Like, I had ideas of how I wanted the shit to go. Like, shit I wanted to talk about. Like, it was wild because I had all the I had all the titles written out. I had the cover, but I didn't have no songs written.
Mm.
Wow. But then I looked at the titles, right?
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, this title's fire. Let me find a beat that feels like this. But then I just went through all the beats that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So I had... Like basically, I had the song "What Would Jesus Say" written down on paper. Then I had "She Wears Celine," like the devil wears Prada.
Right.
So I wanted to have some called "Devil Wears Celine." Then I had like "All Through the Night," "Growing Up with Jesus," "The Hustler's Prayer," "As I Lay Me Down to Sleep." Like these were all like songs that came to mind after I seen the cover, like mm-hmm. titles that came to mind.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, I gotta flush them out. So then I went into my, I had a collection of beats that I made during COVID, during the pandemic, and I just loaded them all up and seeing what. Felt like what, and I started writing these songs. So I usually never work like that. Usually it's I make the beat, I write the rhymes, I come up with like some type of direction for a project, then I find a cover.
Right.
But that was the first time that would happen in reverse.
Wow, that's crazy. Cause it's like, you know, artistic, being artistic, man, you never know how you're gonna go about this. You know what I mean? You might be just, you know, crafting some thoughts, and then it might end up to a whole project, or it might end up, you know, a song, or it's just the way the mind
right.
thinks is crazy.
Right.
You have,
because like, you know, I have this thing where I want to create, like, I have a, like, let's say I make a song, like, what is like one of your favorite songs? You said Blow Me Away.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, Blow Me Away.
Right.
It's like, you take that idea, right, and it's like a very big idea. It's like a very fucking intense and like, it's so many layers to that, right? Mm-hmm. So you're thinking like, okay, so it's the guy that's hustling. He has a young boy who, you know, he's trying to show the ropes to. And these guys, this young boy is doing all type of wild shit, which makes him look guilty when stuff starts coming up missing. But then at the same time, this girl he dealing with is kind of grimy. She, man, it's just a whole collection of niggas she dealing with. This moving, operating behind my back. And then it's like the murders, the streets, the shit to go in the streets with the murders and the different type of drugs that people are using at the time. It's not the crack era. So if you hear the song, we talking about selling perks and lean and going up in pharmacy. You got to take these big ideas, these full-on ideas that you could write a three-hour movie about.
Right.
And break it down into 4 minutes.
Right.
Right? So then it's like, break this down into 3 to 4 minutes, right? So you got to flush this out and really scrap all the, there's so many good details that I could have used, so much stuff I could have added. But then hopefully when somebody hears it, they hear more than what I said.
Mm-hmm.
And what I, you know, that's the hard part. It's like having these elaborate thoughts, flushing it all the way out to the simplistic record. And when somebody hears it, they hear the elaborate thought more than just the simplistic record.
Right. Now, being how layered that is, right? I mean, to cut you off, being how layered that is and how complex that is, and you know, you got those joints. You know what I'm saying? Now, is that a one sit down, or is that a I got 8 bars? Let me let that breathe, and then let me chill and think about, you know what I mean? Because so, like you said, something like that is like, yo, this shit is big. You know what I mean? Like, I'm writing a movie in 4 minutes. So how do I get what I want to say, you know what I mean, and not feel like I'm leaving something out? Like, do you sit down and just create that whole thing right then and there? Or do you, you know what I mean? Like, let me chill on this for a week, and then I'm going to come back and touch it up.
Yeah, well, with that joint, it's, you know, in particular, that was difficult. The writing was easy. I wrote the whole song in one sitting. Mm. I might have wrote that whole song in less than an hour.
Damn.
So,
see, shit like that, beat, I think I was, if I was a betting man, I'd be like, hey, yeah, nigga took about 4 hours to write that, but shit.
Yeah, it probably took me like 40 minutes, maybe 40 minutes to an hour to write that. I wrote it pretty fast. The hard part of that was the beat. I could not get the beat right for a while because it's not like on a grid. Like, the way the sample comes in, it's like not on a certain amount of bars. Like, it's not correct. So it was weird. Because that sample was Son Little. That was a record. I was watching Power. And when Kanan killed his son on Power, that was the song they played. Mm. Like, he shot his son, and that song came on. And I was like, oh, my God. The fuck? You know what I'm saying? Like, right, what is this? So I, like, Shazammed it. When I Shazammed the song, I went right to the studio. I was like, I gotta chop this up. So I couldn't get the beat right. And originally, I had the drums from Three Kings. It was a song that Dr. Dre, Ross, and Jay-Z had, and I had used those drums, and it just wasn't knocking. I'm like, I can't get this shit right for nothing. So, the drums took longer than the writing.
Right.
So I just kind of looped up the beat. I made a beat. It wasn't the same type of beat. It was the same idea, but the loop was a little different, the drums were a little different, and I just wanted to hurry up and write the song. And then it took me maybe 3 or 4 days to get the drums right on the song and to get the bass line right on the song and to make it sound complete.
Right.
And then we shot the video a bit.
Right, yeah, that's fire. I remember when you played that. Is it the Setback that G Unit did on your beat, or was it a different?
Oh, Set the Pick.
I said the Setback. Set the Pick. Now I remember I seen the clip right before I realized that you did the beat. I had seen the clip right, and they all went stooping on that joint. When you see a nigga, like, you know, it's like, yo, that's my beat that I made, and you see another artist, you know what I'm saying, going crazy on that joint. How does that feel as an artist? You know what I mean? Because not only are you a rapper.
Well, that was crazy. Well, that right there was big because that was the first beat I ever got placed.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So the first beat I ever got placed was a G-Unit beat. That's crazy.
Word. Yeah, because I remember seeing that video, and I'm laying in the studio when them niggas was going crazy. Like, the beat was fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas had switching the flows up. Banks was boom. I'm like, oh, nah, this is fire right here. And that was
one of Banks' best.
Yeah, and that was even before I even, you know what I'm saying, realized that, you know, when I seen that you did the beat and I seen you post it, I was like, oh, shit, that's crazy. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
That felt crazy. I ain't gonna lie, because I'm a G-Unit fan. I love G-Unit. You know.
50 is my all-time favorite rapper since
1999. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's in my top five.
Yeah, this has been going on since, you know, I remember I was riding the camp, man. I was riding the camp, and I heard How to Rob on the radio. And after the first verse, I was like, this nigga my favorite rapper. It ain't changed since.
Right. Yeah, that's fast. Super creative.
Yeah.
Super creative. Super intimate when it comes to, like, his stories, his street tales.
Right.
His imagery is very clear. His voice is incredible. Hooks are like probably the best hook writer of all times. Yeah, 50's an incredible songwriter.
Yeah.
And he was supposed to be on Set the Pick.
Oh,
so
shit.
I was kind of disappointed. Yeah, so Set the Pick was supposed to be on the G-Unit album. And the sample, the people who, they was asking for too much to clear the sample.
Right.
I was willing to take nothing. Like, you only got to pay me.
Right.
Just give me, you know, I just want the song to get placed.
Right.
But I think it was too much to clear the sample, so 50 didn't even bother putting his verse on, and it landed on the mixtape. Wow. But it was still dope.
Yeah, there's a still dope. There's a dude, man, his name is Quake. I'm not sure if you familiar with him, but he's like a blogger, but he's kind of big. He did a documentary on 50, and like, it's getting, it's like super viral and all that. And he was doing an interview with Sha Money, and Sha Money was saying how 50, he came in the he came in the studio. 50 had a Bible in his back pocket, and he was doing push-ups in his basement on the studio, rapping Many Men. And he said he had that shit way before Get Rich and all that shit. He was just waiting for the right beat. And that nigga found the right beat. You know what I'm saying? Right. I was like, yo.
That's the digger. He did that beat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's yeah. Cause he got a lot of other producers and stuff in there on that shit too, man. Like now, I wanna ask
production.
You, huh?
No, I'm saying, Big is a beast with the production. Shout Money's a beast, too. Shout out to Shout Money. Yeah. I'm on his last album.
Oh, shit. Super dope. Super dope. You got an interesting name for your company. Like, how did that come about? Live Fast, Die Young Entertainment.
Right. Live Fast, Die Young. Live Fast, Lifestyle. Live Fast. It's just the whole idea of, you know, hustling. That's it. You know, we came up hustling. Like, that was the family business, man. It's no secret. You hear it in my music all the time.
Right.
You know, niggas came up in the street selling drugs, trying to get some money, wanting to be fly, wanting to be, you know, be the guys that the women like.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was the fast lifestyle, living fast.
Right.
You know, and dying young. That's just the whole concept. Like, some of us, you know, when you in that lifestyle, you might die at a young age.
Right.
Or if you survive, hopefully you can keep a young enough spirit to where no matter what your age is, you can still die young.
Mm.
So that was always the concept for me.
Right.
You know, live, that means don't waste no time. You know, rest in peace, my homie Rails used to tell me that, like, man, what you waiting for?
Right.
So we ain't got time to be back doing nothing. We ain't waiting on nothing. We got to get it now. So right. Live fast, like, means no procrastinating. Let's get it right now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, cause yo, man,
that was my dog.
Right,
we used to hustle to get money together, and he got killed at a young age. You know, just being in the streets. So that was always more than anything, more than it being a name for a label. It was just really the lifestyle that we was caught up in, and still caught up in.
Right,
in certain ways.
Cause that procrastination, you know, we all have thoughts and things. Even me, I'd be like, yo, man, you know, I'm gonna do X, Y, Z. In my head, I might think about this shit all day, but not take one step,
right.
You know what I mean, to do that. Like, I might say, yo, I got to record an episode and not record the episode. But it's like, then afterwards, when you don't do it, you think about it. My nigga, what are you doing? You got to put the work in. You got to grind this shit out to get where you trying to be. You know what I'm saying? Because it's so easy to say, yo, yeah, I'm going to do this and I want to do that. But you got to take the steps. You know what I'm saying? Gotta take
steps, and sometimes you gotta just say whatever you're doing and what's stopping you from doing it. You gotta say it out loud.
Mm.
Like yesterday, I was like, yo, damn, I wanna release some music. But damn, I just need some help, man. I need somebody to shoot a fucking video for me, man. I need somebody to do these covers for me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I could just get the cover done, like somebody to do my cover for these new songs that I got, man, I'll drop this shit. If I could just need somebody to shoot the video for this new song, I gotta drop this shit. I don't want to just drop the song with no, can't drop it with no cover and no video. And saying it out loud made me realize how stupid it was.
Mm.
It was like, yo, nigga, make the cover.
Right.
It's a million apps on the phone. You could just take a picture and blend it with another picture and write the title on it and drop it. It don't gotta be perfect.
Right.
Or, yo, you're not nobody to shoot the video? I bet. I got this new song I'm dropping. It's called Miles Hayes. I have my homeboy. He was on the block. I'm playing the song from the homies on the block anyway. I told my homie, yo, just film me rapping this verse.
Right.
I don't need to have a flushed out video. I just need some type of visual for people to know that it's available.
Right.
So sometimes it ain't like, yo, it don't got to be this super flushed out production. Sometimes, like, people just want to see you. And sometimes that's better. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers seeing you in your real natural element around your real friends, hanging out in real time.
Right.
And play the music. Give them some type of direction to go. So, like, hey, subscribe to my YouTube or follow this or download the song. And then, like, come home. You know, I'll do everything. I don't have no team. Let's be very clear.
Right.
The song that I'm releasing right now, I'm going to tell you exactly how it happened. I made the beat. I found the sample. I made the beat. I wrote the rhymes. I came into my room. I recorded it on my studio, in my little studio setup. I mixed it myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mastered it myself, saved it, made the cover, went to the neighborhood, shot the little clip for it, the promo clip. I'm about to upload it right now to DistroKid with the cover that I made, and it'll be out, and I'll promote it.
Right.
And that's the play.
Right. And that's
everybody that's listening.
That is the beautiful part of music. And I want a lot of niggas to understand that, man. Like, now you don't have to wait for nobody. You just literally did with a whole, you know, if this was motherfucking, you know, 25 years ago, that would have cost you some shit. You know what I mean? Just
what?
You know what I mean? They would have tried to crack you for that. Like, studio time.
Wait, the studio time was crazy. The reel would have been crazy. The fucking, it's no way to distribute it. You'd have to press up a bunch of CDs.
Yeah.
You'd have to put out a bunch of flyers outside. I used to do that.
Right.
I used to press up a bunch of flyers, mixtapes, and go outside the club and leave them on people's windshield, all type of shit. Call the car. So this is easy. I could post a clip and 1,000 people, 10,000 people, 40,000 people see it in one shot. You know what I'm saying? Right. Back in the day, I couldn't get 100 people in a room.
Right. Do you recommend, you know, because I know a lot of artists, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I tell, like, you know, my man Sev, he's a dope rapper. I know a few dope rappers, you know what I'm saying? And I be wanting them to do, like, exactly what you just did. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, when it comes to music or podcasting or, you know, whatever it is, in 2023, you're your own business. You know what I'm saying? You, your promotion, you, your, if you don't have, you know, that big major support, it's like, yo, you got to be your own business. You got to be your own videographer, graphic designer, producer, rapper, you know what I'm saying? Management company, you got to reach out. Do you think, like, artists should say, okay, like, let's say, not necessarily keep making new music, but make, like, let's say if I got a project out, should I just work this project till I feel enough people heard it, or do I keep putting out new like songs or singles?
Man, I think you should do. I think you should make as much music as you can, release as much music as you can at a pace that feels good for you, right? Because don't get caught up in like the assembly line, right? So make music at the pace you want. Don't. I mean, what's the best way to put this? There are no guidelines.
Right.
So don't make, I want to make a bunch of music because it's going to crack the algorithm. Man, if you want to make a lot of music, make a lot of music. If you don't, then don't.
Right. Okay.
This is all how you decide to look at it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you gotta, and then it's like, what are you doing? Are you an artist, or are you looking at this as straight business? Because if it's straight business, then it's like, man, we got to play the algorithm game.
Right.
I'm not in the music business.
Right.
I create music, but I'm not in the music business. If I was in the music business, it would be a lot different. But then I'll be a whole different artist.
Right.
Because I would be like doing podcasts. I would be like on live every day because I would understand that this is a business and I'm about to sell myself completely.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it all depends on how you're looking at it. So it's hard. That's a question you got to ask everybody individually.
Individually. So it's basically tailor formatted to what you want and what your goals is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like me personally, like I can't.
Sometimes what the fans want is not what you necessarily want.
Right.
Yo, listen, I understand. Yo, it's people that love my music, man. It's crazy. Like, my fans are the wildest motherfuckers, man. Motherfuckers are listening to my shit like, oh, man, you supposed to be on. You better than so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Yo, you supposed to be doing this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you care? As long as you can hear it.
Right. It's like, you get, nigga, you know
you
it.
You can't do nothing with it. Right, you getting it. It's not like you're not getting it. It's not like it's not available to you. Yeah. But people be really like, yo, fuck that. I want niggas to mention you. And yeah. I love that.
Cause you know, I done shared many of Instagram clips, my nigga. Many of Instagram clips, right, you know right. what I mean? I stay, you know, listen, I go on Instagram every now and again and I chose violence. You know what I'm saying? I might send a nigga a clip and be like, you ain't gonna send nothing back fucking with this. You know what I'm saying? And I do that.
Right.
So, you know, niggas be having their own opinion to things like that. You know what I mean? Because I feel like, nigga,
ain't nobody know your man.
Yeah.
So you want to, it's the barbershop shit. You know what I mean? So I get it. I fully get it. But sometimes you gotta ask yourself, man, what does this artist want?
Right.
Because I go through that with my favorite artists. And right. with Nas, I'd be like, man, the fuck was he thinking when he did this Damian Marley album? Like, what made him want to do that?
Right.
Not that there's nothing wrong with the album. It's like, man, that's not what I wanted from you at the time.
Right.
Well, who the fuck am I to say what I want from a motherfucking artist? What he supposed to be doing?
Right.
Yeah. You make what you make, and it's all people appreciate it or not.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love that album. It just took me time to go back and listen to it and be like, okay, I'm not mad anymore.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Let me hear it next. But that's what it is. Like, you know.
Is there any artist, you know, that you feel like nowadays, in this era right now, that be talking, and you know, people may have a difference of opinions. Like, nah, he a hype, but that nigga don't be talking. But you think that nigga talk? Like, cause you know, music is subjective. Like, somebody, you know, no shade to Silk the Shocker, but that's somebody's favorite rapper. He might not be mine. You know what I'm saying? But that nigga sold a shit ton of records. And, you know what I mean?
I grew up on Charge It to the Game. That first Silk album was incredible.
Right. So, do you?
You know what I'm saying? I listen to everybody. Mm-hmm. I give niggas a shot.
Okay.
So it's not just, see, with me, I understand it's not just about the lyrics. All right, put it this way. Do you listen to reggae music? You like reggae music?
Yeah.
Do you understand everything they be saying?
Nah.
All right. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Right.
Right? So it's not always about the lyrics. Sometimes it's the feel.
Right.
Right? So mm-hmm. you take like an artist like Future, lyricist nigga try to argue me to death that Future's not dope.
Right.
But nigga, I feel a certain way when I listen to Future.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just mm-hmm. like I feel a certain way when I listen to Damian Marley. Mm-hmm. Or if I feel a certain way when I listen to Afro, you know, German artist. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's like when you hear these people, shit is dope music. It's not all about lyrics. Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes the lyricists niggas be trash.
Right.
So you could rap and put the words, but it ain't about nothing.
And a lot of them fell off.
Right. I mean, nigga could come up with the best shit. Mechanical, manical, manual, handle, manual, manual. It's like, all right, but you ain't nothing. I ain't hear nothing.
Right.
You know, so what good is that?
Right.
So for me, you know, my thing is this, man. I listen to everybody. Everybody got some shit. I could probably find. There's probably rappers that I really don't like,
mm-hmm.
and I can still find something in their catalog that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's wrong all the time. You gonna make something.
But see, I feel that way too. Like, I will never just to say a nigga like, nah, it's no, he can't. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'll choose violence. So was it yesterday? It was either yesterday or the day before yesterday, right? This dude, he from Harlem. So he had posted something about Juelz, right? Juelz Santana. And I'm a Juelz fan. Juelz is super nice. Like, we know that. Juelz can rap, right? So I say, yo. And I forgot what he said, but something along those lines of ain't too many niggas fucking with Juelz or something like that. So me choosing violence, I say, yo, I know artists, man, that if they get on a track with each other, Juelz gonna have a long day. You know what I'm saying? Not to discredit Juelz mm-hmm. and say he can't rap. So the nigga said, who? I said, listen, man. I said, you put my son Gates on that joint, because I'm a big Kevin Gates fan, right? I said, yo, put them on the track mm-hmm. and he gonna give Juelz work. That nigga said, peace, I'm out. I'm like, my nigga, then you might not have listened to the nigga music. You know what I'm saying? I know the nigga wilds out online and all that. I'm talking mm-hmm. only music, right? You know, just to say that nigga can't fucking hang with Juelz is like, you know what I mean? Did you give the nigga a shot?
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, yeah. I don't know, man.
Yeah, both of them were extremely dope, man.
Yeah, like even on some music shit, you know, it's just like,
yo, Juelz, I ain't gonna lie, Juelz, I get excited when certain people like my shit.
Mm-hmm.
And Juelz is one of the people. Like when Juelz posted the Amber Vision album, it was crazy. I didn't even know, mm-hmm. you know.
Right, right.
I don't even know how he got his hands on it or what made him go listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he listened to it and posted it on his own. Mm-hmm. He just posted this shit. I was like, I need to download this. This nigga got some shit, right?
Right.
And that shit was dope to me because, you know, I grew up listening to Juelz. Like when they was having their run, their Dipset run, man, I remember going to the Puerto Rican Day Parade. or was it Harlem Day? One of them parades in Harlem, man. That nigga came outside and shut the. They went crazy. Right.
Yeah.
I'm talking about motherfuckers running, tripping over each other to get to this nigga. Right. I'm like, yo. And this nigga, you know, years later, he posted my shit like, yo, this nigga Rain is the truth. So,
right.
Yeah, like, shit like that is fire. The same thing with Gates. Gates is dope. I've been around Gates a few times.
Yeah, I follow Jim. I think it's Corey Gunn's uncle or cousin.
Jim's well.
Yeah. I don't know him personally, but we've interacted in the DMs and shit. And he was like, you know, he's telling me he had posted some shit with Gates and shit. He's like, yo, nah, nigga used to be around, like, you know what I mean? Like, we, you know, hanging out, him before he got joints and shit like that. He's like, yeah, get busy.
That's Jim's thing. That's how I met him, through Jim.
Oh, okay. Yeah, super dope.
Big Gates, Jim, and Fred the Godson. He was all in the studio chopping up, talking hip hop shit.
Right.
That was a good day.
Yeah, that's super dope. Super dope, man. Like, you know, let me ask you this before, you know, now let's say, you know, I had a bag for you, right? I said, listen, man, this is the budget, right? So you get whatever producer you want and whatever feature you want. It could be one feature, two feature. What type of song would you put together with any feature in the world and any producer in the world? And you got the bag now, the budget is there, and it's like,
so I think first I would think about what I would want to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
What would I want to hear, and then how could I insert myself in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So boom, this is tricky, right? I would love to hear like Nas and Sade on a joint together.
Mm.
You're saying like probably me, Nas, Sade, producer will have to probably be like, they have to be hard, like RZA.
Mm.
RZA on the beat. And let Dr. Dre add some keys and mix that joint.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
You know what I'm
saying? That'd be crazy.
that'd be some wild shit.
And just
to add some more vibes to it, I would love to hear her on it too.
Right.
Her and Sade.
Oh yeah. Are you writing her hooks?
Her and Sade style.
Are you writing their hooks or are you gonna let them?
No, you gotta let her and Sade do their thing.
Okay.
They gonna come up with some shit.
Okay.
But that's like the new and the classic on both ends of the spectrum. You say you got Sade and Nas, and then me and her.
Right. Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That'd be something to listen to, man. Do you think...
Well, I think... Fly.
Right. Do you think... man, would you still be interested in a Nas and AZ album?
Oh, man, yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I want to hear all the shit. All the dope shit, man.
That's what I'm saying, man. Listen, I done made a real...
I want to hear everything. Like, I'm so hip-hop. Right. I want a new Little Sims album.
Right, right.
Give me a new everything. A new Kim album. Yeah. I want everything.
Yeah.
I want a new A-Ball and MJG album. I want everything.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, really? I'm really that's into real. This shit. That's I want real. A new Andre 3000 album. I want everything. I want a new Rich Boy album. I want everything.
Right.
DJ Quick, where you at? I want some DJ Quick shit. All the shit that all the people that makes music and ever made music and gave us some good shit to live our lives through, I want some more. I want more contributions.
Yeah, man. I really need
I bumped that last AZ album so much, that Do It Die 2. Oh,
yo,
my God.
You, man, listen. You know, because that's my God, shit. You know, that's the type of music that I play. Like I said, you fall right into that lane of music making. And that's really all I listen to. Nas's, AZ's.
I agree. It's a certain clause. It's like, You know, I take them, whether it be the clips, whether it be AZ, all of them. Now, like that slick,
Uptown
Get Money.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You fuck with Camp Low?
Oh, man, I love Camp Low. I love the shit they did with Pete Rock, too.
Yeah, they're my niggas. I got Sonny Chiba on my list, on my top 50 favorite rappers.
Right. Fire, slick. That's
yeah,
slick.
Like Now, I understand.
That's the scheme he was doing with the niggas.
Right, right. Now, you know, I understand, you know what I'm saying? I understand you got relationships in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a rap battle. There's a rap battle brewing.
You know what I'm saying? Oh,
man. Listen, I understand you got your political ties. Yeah, I understand. You ain't even got to get too in depth. I just want to know.
Okay.
Do you like it? You like what's going on? Because I like, just as a fan of hip hop, it's been a while. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, since niggas threw bars, of course we don't want it to go past the bars. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a rough sport. Hip hop is a rough sport. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking to somebody. I don't think if a nigga came through and gave you 20 bars, I don't think you gonna sit back. You know what I mean? Because I thought you was going. I was wondering if you was ever gonna jump on that stage. You know what I'm saying? But you know, I don't know.
Man.
If a nigga give you 20 bars, I don't think you're going to chill. It just, nah, I ain't going to respond. You know what I mean? You're going to get niggas up out of here. So, like, Jim, you know, Jim was talking, man. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, push it through a shot. Jim responded. How you feel about, you know, what could come from this?
Push it through more than a shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. He definitely did.
What's the win for? Man, that's Capo, though. Like, Capo comes from the cloth of, like, nigga, we ain't wasting no time. We ain't waiting. We going.
Right to it.
I think he did. He doing it right. Like, mm-hmm. Let's go.
I like that.
Push it, too. Push is doing it right, too, because I think Jim jumped out the window first, right? Jim said he knocked top 50.
Yeah, he was going. At first, I'm like, yo, okay, cool.
And doubled down on it, right?
He doubled down, he tripled down, and quadrupled and everything else after that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's hip-hop, though. Hip-hop is, I don't need the reason, nigga. I want it. That's hip-hop. Hip-hop is, nigga, whether or not I think you top 50, nigga, I want the smoke.
Right.
That's what Jones did, and Pusha did what he's supposed to do. He heard that and came outside and fired. And then Jones fired back, right? So it's like, yo, we in the midst of it. Let's go.
Yeah. And I like, hey, that video, man. I was hype as shit when I seen that video. The nigga was sitting in the motherfucking lawn chair in the hood.
With the mic hanging.
You know what I mean?
I like it. I think both of them, you know, I like both of their music a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
I've worked with Jones on Waste of Talent.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said, I know you got your plugged in, so I ain't even, you know what I mean?
I always speak highly of Jones.
Right.
And I love Pusha T. I'm a Clips fan. I'm a Pusha fan. I like what they're doing, and I just want to get some good music out of it.
Right.
Man.
Yeah, but and I like it because, like you said, he stepped right in. Nigga, what? Okay, I'm right at you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Told that man, his brother hop in the bed with him, and you tell him, slide over. That's crazy.
he ready. This ain't new to him.
Yeah, man.
The Dip's been doing this for a long time. So,
yeah, man.
You know, I just want them to keep it rap, keep it hip-hop.
Definitely.
And just make it exciting like that. But Jones did, though. He did what Drake didn't do. Drake didn't make it exciting.
That's what I wanted, man. That's what
like Drake let the Duffy freestyle off and then he was never really direct.
Right.
And Push being direct. Because, you know, Push, I don't know, I think kind of got under Drake's skin a little bit.
Right.
A lot of personal stuff. And Drake never gave a battle. See, Jones jumping right into it.
Right.
His brother's
into
a crackhead.
And I feel that, you know, remember when Budden went at him? I wanted that too with Drake. I said, hey, man, get at this nigga, man. You know, Budden top tier lyricist. You know what I'm saying? Like, that ain't no slouch.
I never heard the Budden Drake disses.
You didn't?
I was aware that it was happening.
Right.
But I think I was aware of why it was happening, and that kind of threw me off.
Mm-hmm. Well, remember with Drake, he did on that Push Montana. Salute to him, but French Montana joint was like, you know, pump it up. He did that little shot at Budden, and then Budden just went in three songs.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that was a reach because I didn't understand. It was like, yo, the niggas do a little shot, and it's like four songs.
Yeah.
It was confusing.
I see. He did. Hey, and you know, buddy, he'll give you 110. You know what I mean? Off the wake up. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot to digest. You know what I'm saying?
That wasn't tuned in too. Plus, it's like a weird matchup.
Yeah.
Pusha and Jones is a good matchup. It's like they both talk slick. They both make good music.
Yeah, man.
They both are like solidified legends.
Yeah.
And they're both very opinionated when it comes to hip hop.
Right. And to see Jones, man, who came out, like, it wasn't like Jones was, you know, the rapper at first. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
His music is top. Like, he makes great albums. You know what I'm saying? And he's no slouch at rapping. You know what I'm saying? And just to see, like, yo, he worked his way to where he is now. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like you said, he did exactly what he's supposed to do. And I know as soon as he push a fire, he gonna bomb again. Like, so, you know, right. As a hip-hop fan, I
was interested to see if he's gonna bomb again before Push even fire again.
Oh, yeah. That'd be
how I would do it.
Right. Okay, let me ask you this.
But yeah, I just want to shout out Jones because he's one of the few artists who did something for me for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of these niggas know who I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
These niggas love. And the thing with Jones was it took nothing.
Right.
I DM'd him and tried to get some beats to him. That's how I DM'd him, was like, I got some beats. And he was like, yo, man, I know who you are. Fuck them beats, nigga. You got some verses coming to the studio. He invited me to the studio that night. And I get there, and we did a song that same night. And we just continue working together. So I have so much respect for him because he's not a nigga that's like, think of that. He always had the best spitters with him. Axel, Fred God. He don't care. He's not scared to get in the booth and rap with the top spitters. This nigga's, you know, he wants that energy. We'll be in the studio talking shit to each other. Like, nigga, what you got for this? Oh, this how we coming? A word? I bet.
Right.
And nigga go in the booth like it's that energy.
Right.
So, you know, and a lot of these niggas, they be terrified. These niggas, they know who I am. Right. I look at myself like I'm Candyman. That's who I am.
Candyman.
Like, to the rap thing, I'm Candyman. Right. These niggas all take, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they look in the mirror. When they look in the mirror, it's hard. They know I'm there because they all took something from me.
Right.
And they feel like as long as they don't say my name, they're safe.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
I can see that.
So that's why when these guys do their interviews, they'll never give props. When you ask them what they listening to, they won't say my name.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because they feel like if they say my name enough times, it's going to build enough, it's gonna build some steam that's gonna overshadow them,
right?
You know, so that's why they don't say my name. They know I pop out like Candyman with the hook,
right?
But it's all good, you know. But Jones was a nigga, he never cared about that,
yeah. And nigga put me in the video, super dope. And that, as you can see, he's been around for shit. You know, we can't even count how many people done came and gone since they came in the game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, it ain't but a few niggas that's from that era that's still, you know, it's niggas from that era, of course, but it's a lot that we don't even think about until maybe we see them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit, yeah, right. I remember, son. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. He my utmost respect. And him and Paul Wall. Paul Wall is another person who did a record with me for nothing.
Right.
It was just, I like your music. I don't even think he was fully aware of everything I was doing. He just heard me and was like, I like this shit.
Right. And that's respected, so, man. Like, that's how I feel like it should be. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but it's never like that. It's like, I've been in this game for years.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped so many people. I've helped people get deals. I've helped people get money. I've helped people feed their family. I taught people how to make beats. I opened doors for people and they closed them doors right behind themselves. You know? So it's never like that. So when you got people like Jones, like Paul Wall, you know, the few people that's willing to show love and really open some doors and, you know, let you come around and learn some game from them, you know, you gotta, you know, give these niggas their flowers and show love and pay homage.
Right. Hey, man, it could be, you know, when you're sitting next to a nigga that can really rap, really produce, really can make songs on all different type of levels, It's tough. Right. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, they getting by off of whatever they getting by. A lot of these niggas is getting by because they man on. And you know what I mean? They just threw them a little alley-oop. Right. And you on because you're man on. You're not on because you nice and you like super dope. You know what I'm right. saying? You on because, nigga, you such and such man. And, you know, that just comes with oh. that.
Got it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
most of these niggas,
yeah. You know?
But that's the game, right? That's always been the game.
Yeah, but damn, I wish a lot of these niggas had a little bit more to offer than just being this nigga man, you know? Like, because I feel like this shit need to be preserved, man. Hip-hop is dope, man. I'm not necessarily saying it's going anywhere, but I would like it to get a little bit more, you know, grounded or... You know, just, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm an old it's head, so, but.
No, but it's all subscription, man. Unsubscribe to the bullshit. I can't tell you the bullshit.
Right.
I don't know. I can't tell you 10 new artists. I can't. Right, I don't want me to name 10.
Me neither.
Ask me right now. Put $1 million in front of me. Clean, tax-free money. It's your money. If you could tell me the number one song in the country right now.
Right.
I could guess if you gave me 100 tries.
Right. Me neither.
I'll be dead wrong. So that's the whole thing. Like, I don't subscribe to it. My life and my music is curated. My music is curated around my lifestyle. I got the music that I want to hear in the gym. I don't know what music the gym is playing. Because I got my AirPods on listening to what I want to hear. I don't know what the radio is playing. I'm in the car listening to the playlist I make.
Right.
And usually when I'm home, I'm working on my shit. So I can't even tell you what's going on.
Right.
I can tell you what I'm listening to,
and
it's gonna sound like I'm trapped. I'm listening to like Mobb Deep, Wu Tang,
mm-hmm.
like new artists. Like I don't even know who the fuck am I listening to. Tyler the Creator, does he count as new? I don't think he's new.
Nah, shit, he got damn near. He got shit like 11 in.
Right, so it's nobody new I'm listening to.
Oh, you know what? Let me ask you: are you familiar with Hobson?
He's not new.
No, he's not new, but I'm just saying just artistically. Oh, yeah. Nah, I'm just saying, like, because, you know, he'll drop, like, that nigga be popping out and disappearing, you know what I'm saying? But he'll pop out with one of them ill mind like, sevens and
like
shit.
A young Eminem. Yeah, he has, like, a Slim Shady pop.
He got the video down packed, the making the beats and the raps, you know what I'm saying?
It's no new niggas I'm listening to. Nobody. I can't name one.
Yeah.
Not one. That's
like
crazy.
That too. I'm like that too, you know.
But that's no hate. There's no hate.
Yeah, like you said, we crafting our playlist to, you know, what we like. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Yeah, I guess that's the gift. That's the gift of the shit. You know what I'm saying? I guess the curse of it. I guess the curse is, you know, the masses want the little 10-second, you know, TikTokable shit. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever they dealing with at, you know, on the masses.
The ultimate is. Everything is changing, so here, y'all can listen to whatever y'all want.
Right.
You know, the fact that we could actually go on the streaming platforms, I don't have to go buy all these classic albums that I used to have. I could just listen to them.
Yeah, right here in the pocket. Right.
Right. Like right now, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to run down, before we get out the phone,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to run down the albums I got downloaded on my phone.
Okay.
Not many. Nas, right? I got Illmatic, It Was Written, Stillmatic, Life Is Good, King's Disease 2, Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt, Blueprint 444. From the Wu, I got Only Built for Cuban Links, 36 Chambers, and Wu-Tang Forever, and Supreme Clientele. Of course, Lauryn Hill. Of course, the Mad Villain album from Doom. Of course, the infamous from Mobb Deep, Dr. Dre, Chronic 1 and 2, Aquemini and Stink on the Edge, Dark and Hell is Hot, Dirty Sprite 2, Paid in Full, Rakim, the first 3M albums, and Relapse, Biggie, first two joints, Capone and Noriega, Capital Punishment. Oh, I have Boldy James. He's new.
Yeah, new. Okay. Yeah, I like, you know, I like, you know, of course I like Benny and Griselda and 38.
Okay, yeah.
You
they're
know,
new. They're not new. They're really new, though.
And Stove but, God, I fuck it with Stove God.
So I do got Boldy in my playlist.
Yeah, I
got Gibbs in my playlist. I'm a Madlib fanatic.
Right.
So I got Tiana and Bandana. I got my favorite Pac albums, of course, Me Against the World, All Eyes on Me, Machiavelli. Mm-hmm. I got My Shit. Mm-hmm. I got Siegel first three joints. I got Jeezy first three joints.
Right.
Ross three joints.
Right.
I got some shit, you know what I'm saying? But it ain't really nothing new. I got Nipsey shit. Be back, Slauson boy.
Right. Yeah, I get I get it. That's bangers right there too, by the way.
Bangers though, right? T.I. King album. I can't forget that. Shine's first album. Hardcore.
I said that the other day.
Yeah. Foxy Brown's Broken Silence album. Like, yo, I got some shit in here. And then I got like little playlists like 90s hip hop. I got fucking my rooftop 80s music.
Your shit organized. My shit just all over the place. Like, I just
My shit super organized.
I might need to do that because I just got a bunch of most listened to artists and shit. Like the last joint I was playing was Shaheem, the Lost Generation album. You know what I'm saying? I was
my
shit. You know, I was in my that nigga's shit was fire.
Come on, we need more Shaheem music. We need more music from everybody.
Yeah,
everybody, man.
Hell
everybody.
Man. Word.
But yeah, that's it, man. You know.
Yeah, hey, before
the new shit, everybody want people to be when you dropping this
in about 2 hours.
Okay, oh, yeah, okay, we right so you here. Upload,
huh? Nah, yeah, I mean,
when you upload this,
yeah, if you want, you know what I'm saying. If you want me to wait, I could do that, but
Fire. Man, we ain't waiting for shit. Live fast, man.
Right. Hold on. Before I let you go, because it's just like with 50, right? I remember this shit. I'm riding a youth camp. I was a counselor, basketball shit with my uncle. 50 came on. He said, yo, he did the How to Rob shot. I said, this nigga right here. This is a joint when I said, oh, nah, this nigga's super nice.
Go if I can't blow. Guy, I fed you mighty gongs. Shot it, blow, send the body home. Throw my mind is racing. Instead of trying to get rid of the hate. And all of these niggas are saying they blazing. I can listen and tell that they be faking. Even if I never do make it, I'm gonna be in the kitchen with my.
I said, oh, nah, this nigga's a problem. I said, this nigga's a problem. And that's.
I remember making.
That's, you know what I mean? That's what. That's on the YouTube shit. It says 16 years. I don't know, you know, sometimes they upload them at different times. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was even further back than that. I can't remember, but.
Yeah, it was like 2007.
Hey, man.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You listen to shit like that, and then you understand why a nigga going peace and pull from your shit and not, you know what I'm saying? Like. You know,
right.
Your talent is on that level, man. You know what I'm saying? And like
that's
I said,
video?
Man.
That was video?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that video. It was on West Farms Project. It was like a project over there.
You know, I always think, you know, for the longest, I thought you was from New York. Like, I thought, I know.
Well, I am. Okay. I'm from North Carolina and New York. Like, okay. My mother, my father is from Brooklyn. My mother's from the Bronx. My mother's from Katona Park. My father's from Bedside.
Okay. Okay. Right?
So my pops was on the run from the feds and went to go run in North Carolina because my uncle was down there. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
My uncle was getting money in North Carolina. So my pops left New York and was wound up in Fayetteville getting money with my uncle, which is my mother's brother.
Okay. Okay.
So this was a family business, the whole family hustle.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That year, when my father was on the run, mind you, my uncle was also ended up down there on the run.
Damn!
So my whole family is, all right. So my whole family, I don't have no roots in North Carolina.
Right.
But that year that my father went on the run, they had me.
Right. Okay.
So technically, my family is off. My family's from New York.
Right.
My history, my roots. My elders are from New York. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. My mother's family's Puerto Rican, from Puerto Rico to New York, right?
Right.
I always was back and forth from North Carolina to New York every summer because I would go see my grandmother and my family every summer. But when my pops got locked up in North Carolina, my mother decided to stay. She did the bid with him.
Okay.
So she was able to stay there, and she refused to take the kids back to New York with her husband in jail in North Carolina.
Right.
So she took us every week, every other weekend to go see him. throughout his bid, he wound up doing 5 to 6 years, something like that.
Right, right.
And when he came home, you know, they split, and he went back to New York. Right?
Right.
And around that time, I dropped out of school to move to New York with him.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. So, all right. So, yeah. Because I seen the videos. I'm like, okay. I thought you was from the Bronx. And then I seen you say, you know, North Carolina. So I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I get it now.
So I grew up kind of fast. But by the time I moved to New York, I'm like 16, right?
Right.
So I was like 16. So I was already hustling. I was already in the street. So it's hard not to claim North Carolina because a lot of the game I got was from North Carolina.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of my first experiences I got from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So I was born there. I was born in North Carolina. I was raised in North Carolina. But when I got to New York at 16, that's when I became a man, like really being with my pops.
Right.
And really understanding. You know, it's different. Mommy ain't there to iron your clothes, wash your clothes, and, pops, you know, it's different.
And then New York is... It's like Trey and Boys in the Hood, man.
Right, so it's that type of vibe. Yeah. So then I start developing more game in New York. I start learning how to talk a little faster, walk a little faster. My fashion skills got up a little bit, because I'm hanging the girls in Harlem and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, now it's a little different. I'm starting getting some money, and now I'm around. And, you know, now I'm around some better rappers.
Right, right.
You got, like, I'm meeting Fred the Godson when I'm 13.
Crazy.
Coming up for the summer. I'm meeting me and Corey Guns running around. So now I got to step my shit up. So now, you know, and I'm around my other family that's from New York. So then I'm back and forth from New York to North Carolina, bringing the fashion to NC, bringing the style to NC, the jewelry, the different type of jewelry, and how we do shit. You know, we mixing
right.
it up.
Right, right.
So I always give credit to both, but, you know, I was born and raised in North Carolina, so by law, nigga, that's where I'm from.
Right, understand.
But the roots are still in New York.
Definitely, definitely, man. Hey, man, listen, this was a super, super dope conversation. You know, and
no
I
doubt.
Appreciate you even, you know what I'm saying, chopping it up, man. That's what I always wanted to do. I said, whenever I ever start a podcast, I want to reach out to the niggas that I fuck with in this shit and that I just
right.
want to chop it up with and get in, you know, I just want to hear about your come up and your music talents and all that, man. This shit is super dope because I could literally remember seeing you on a smack, you know what I'm saying? So the same way you say, yo,
right.
oh, yo, you know, I seen Jewels, you know what I'm saying? Nigga,
right.
I'm sure me and you probably around the same age. Like, I used to watch, you know, nobody didn't watch Smack, you know what I'm saying? And I watched Smack, right. like, nah, this nigga Rain, I done had arguments, I done did all that, you know what I mean? And now
right,
I got
right.
to chop it up with you on my platform, man. I appreciate this shit, my nigga, for real. I definitely appreciate this shit, my nigga.
It really means a lot. And I thank you for really, you know, being a true supporter and actually doing your due diligence, because I do a lot of interviews with people. And I'd be like, what the fuck are they asking?
yeah.
Hey, what are you?
Nah, man.
You know
I'm
what's
a
going
fan,
on.
Man.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah, I'm a so fan, man. Like I said, I could have came in with a quotable, man, but I don't know, man. It's a lot there, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, when you want to, you know, you could do that shit with an IG post. You'd be trying to think of the right verse, but it'd be so many verses. You'd be like, man, shit. You know what I mean?
Yo, you know who got my quotables right now?
Who that?
On Instagram. I had to take some of these shits down because it looked crazy. I have so many AZ quotables under my pictures.
Nigga, me too. I got AZ quotables. You know what I'm saying? Like what he said when the joint, what he said, you know, yeah, he got a lot, man. It's just like that, it fits. You know what I'm saying? Spoke to my pop and leave it speechless.
It's the lifestyle.
Yeah, when your features is as fresh as your sneakers, you age well. Like, come on, man, that nigga be talking, yo. That nigga be talking. That nigga's very quotable. You know what I'm saying? Very quotable. But yeah, man, I definitely appreciate it, man. You know what I'm saying? Anytime, you know, hey, man, if you got us, you know, you want to, yo, throw this joint on the pod. Yeah, yo, you got my information. If I could help you again, I'm currently still in the process of building this shit. You know what I'm saying? But this is this type of shit I like to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not, you know, one of them gossip type. You know what I mean? Like, I like to have real conversations about music, and it don't necessarily got to be about music. You know what I'm saying? I just like to build with people because we all see this world differently. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, man, again, I definitely appreciate it. You like I said before we had this conversation, if I never had you on the podcast, you're still on my top 50 favorite rapper list because you're one of my favorite rappers, and I definitely appreciate you for chopping it up with me, man. Definitely.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right.
Let me know.
Dad, play New Wayne.
I love it all. I love being stopped and getting away. I ain't love getting busted. I love getting away. I love the game. I love the game that they play, that I was playing back and forth with them. Just the whole, like, for me, I'm in a euphoric place where my life is on the line.
I keep my crown buffed and polished, in and out of town with drugs and dollars like Miles Haynes. All days consist of trying not to be the cop's next collar. I solemnly swear to pull us all out of here. Herman Miller chairs in the office. Often I stare out the window wondering what I'm here for. There goes another call. My piece is interrupted. Corrupted lawyers collecting paper to free us from murders. They help us push this further. You fucks annoy us. Projecting haters could leave us with hurdles that whelps us. Took this turn up. Events and turned up. Burn up a Swisser. Kiss my sister on the cheek. Tell her I'll miss her if they catch me when I twist ya. Fix your face. Die like a gangster. You insisted on this play. Ain't no assistance on the way. Murder is a necessary evil, and nobody could lay it down like we do. Sex money. I put it all on the road like Miles Hayes. High praise for tearing up highways. I never lie because I fear no one. You only lie when you're afraid. I take that to the grave. What?
If I ever showed you niggas love before, y'all ain't show it back, man. This is me taking it back. Fuck all y'all.
Yo.
I know how I'm
Yo, I'm like a hybrid of Black Thought and Fritz, hip hop and bricks, posing in flicks, the most stylish. Ghetto bitches with me who tattoo their eyelids and knuckles, slurp nut and chuckle, undo my Ferragamo buckle, a couple. Most shots of this prohibition scotch, pissy off the whiskey. Security, no, not to frisk me. Wish me luck if I go out with a bang. Will you miss me much? That's rhetorical. Every move I made is historical. You've all sat with the oracle. Truly, we know yourself through me. Your echoes been mimicking Greco from the get-go. Elder flower liqueur, lemon and Prosecco. We'll make a French motto tell Papi Dame Beso. Sartorio, Napoli dress code. Let's go. International rain, nothing left to explain.
I'm going 140, 150 when the road is turning into like one road. And I got this car. Just going out, just the fearlessness.
I put it all on the road like Miles Hayes. High praise for tearing up highways. I never lie because I fear no one. You only lie when you're afraid. I take that to the grave. What?
That was my drug. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't taste, I don't sample any of that.
One more time for Rain. That was exclusive Rain called Miles Hayes. Super dope, super dope, super dope, super dope. Follow Rain on all platforms at Rain910. That's Rain910. Go dive into the catalog. Go dive into the catalog from beginning to the end, from the end to the beginning. However you want to do it, that's up to you. Either way, it's good fire music all the way around. All right? You heard what I just played. That was fire. That was heat. Salute the Rain. Appreciate you for coming on. This is the Retro Rick Podcast. I'm gone.